Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
We are at the second parsha of Sefer Bamidbar. Interesting parsha.
Which one is it?
All the parshas are interesting. And this is also very interesting because our parsha, we can title it about Be United. And we'll see in a minute how it goes. We have the blessing of the Kohanim, Yevarchecha Hashem Vishmerecha in our parsha. We have the Korbanot of the Nesiim, thank you, that show us the unity of the president of the tribes.
Amen.
And it all starts Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor Naso et Rosh Bnei Gershon. Raise up the heads of the sons of Gershon. Gam hem, also them. What's also them? Why? What's wrong with them? Like, it sounds very strange. And if we go back to the first parasha of Bamidbar, we were already told that you should raise up the heads of Am Israel to the families and to the house of their fathers. So what's special here, and why is it Gam Hem, also them? Why? Is there any problem? Or why would we think that they couldn't raise up their heads? And the parsha goes on and tells us, "Zot avodat mishpechot haGershoni." That's the job of the family of Gershoni, la'avod ve'lamasa. They have to work hard and to carry things. And maybe the Torah is trying to tell us a very interesting point. You know, sometimes people think that they have a very low level job and they feel depressed about it, they don't feel good about it. And from the other side, you have those people, professors or big rabbis, they think, whoa, we are the top of the world. The Torah tells us, everybody, doesn't matter what job he's got, he has to raise up his head. You are a part of Am Israel, and it doesn't matter what you do and what you don't do. And to make it a little clearer, it's not only the job you've got, it's also your abilities. Why? Because some of us have different abilities. And some of us sometimes feel very low when we see this guy, whoa, he's brilliant, he's a genius, and we don't know half of what he knows. And it makes us feel beneath him. And the real truth is, don't never ever feel beneath nobody. Because each one of us is a unique person who's got unique abilities. And it, for example, I am not very good in Gemara. I'm not very good in Gemara, what can I say? Maybe it's because I'm not a great tzaddik or whatever, that doesn't matter. The point is, sometimes it hurts you. So, wow, look at this guy. He learns the Gemara, he knows it from backwards and forwards, and he throws all the names of the rabbis. This one says that other one said that. And you feel, oh, why can't I? And then I think to myself, okay, so I'm dealing with Parshat Shavua. Maybe it's a lower level. Maybe. But it's not true. It's a different thing. It's a whole different issue. And if your talent and if your abilities are to this direction, you go to this direction and you make the most out of it. It's like in school. Some of us are, let's say, very in the side of numbers. And some of us are very in the side of literature and other stuff. So, what's wrong with it? The problem is that society looks at those who know number good, or they know the Gemara good, that they are the top. And the others are beneath them. And it's so wrong and not true. For example, when you start to learn Kabbalah, when you see in Kabbalah there are so many things, it's very complicated. But you see some people that they can be geniuses in Gemara, they cannot go into it. They don't connect to it. And from us is those who are not so brilliant in Gemara, but they do connect to it. And that's the way in all the fields. So the first thing the Torah is telling us, don't feel bad. Gam hem. Also you and you and you and you and you. Everybody's got this great privilege to raise up his head and say, I am a talented human being. I've got abilities that God gave me, and the abilities that God gave me for me are the best. And that's the first lesson. And then, when we think like this, we can approach the second level, which is ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I talked on shuls in a shul in Yafo. Very interesting shul. It's like, you know, very mixed people and very interesting figures. And I talked about climbing the Everest. The Everest. You all know about Everest. And we just climb now on the mountain of Sinai to receive the Torah. And there is a small difference between both things. You know, there is a very interesting story that I read a few years ago about a guy who learned in the IDC, or how it's called, the university here near not far. And he went through a whole procedure in order to climb the Everest. And you know, it's cost a lot of money and a lot of efforts, and you learn to learn a lot in order to do this. You cannot just go and climb. Now, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but the peak of the story is that eventually he climbs the mountain, and you climb with other people, and you come to a spot where they call the dead zone. And the next day is the day of the peak, Yom HaPisgah. That's what they call it, because at that day you have to get to the top of the mountain. And he is telling the story that on the way you see bodies of people who couldn't make it, and they look like sleeping. But they sleep forever because it's very, very cold there. And while he's climbing, and it's the day of the peak, in other words, in a few hundred meters, he gets there. He is on the top of the mountain. And suddenly he sees this Turkish guy from the camp, don't remember his name, and he looks like dead, but he hears that he's still breathing. So now he's thinking, what should I do? Should I climb and leave him? By the way, that's what everybody does. It's me and that's it, because I have to get to the top. And you cannot go with others because it goes like this. Like, you cannot beat, you take all the ropes and you take them apart. You each one by himself. And each one by himself, you go on bodies. Because you want to go to the top. So he's thinking to himself, what should I do? And he decides to save this guy. Now you have to understand, this is all not only to save this guy, both of them can die. And it's, I'm not talking jokes, that it's a real story. Both of them can die very easily. He does it. And he saves this guy, and this opportunity of climbing to the Everest is not there anymore. But he feels very good about it. And I think that it's a very heroic story. But the thing that got me is that I compare this climbing to our way of climbing to the mountain of Sinai. We went through a procedure of Sfirat HaOmer. And the idea was to build ourselves, as we talked 2 seconds ago, as an individual, but from the other side, to be together. In other words, we don't go on corpses. We don't go on bodies. We are joining together and we help each other to get to the top, to get the Torah. Because otherwise we cannot get the Torah. Only if we are united, if we have the Ahavta Lerecha Kamocha, only then we can receive the Torah a proper way. Otherwise, this is not a proper way of receiving the Torah. Maybe you think you got the Torah, but you got nothing. And by the way, also one of the stories of what you see on the top of the Everest is, it's a big junkyard. You see old flags, and I don't want to say what else you see there. Not only corpses, not only bodies. It looks like, do you know Miss Balachiria?
Yeah.
It looks worse. That's a description, not my description. I have never been there, but the description of others who climbed there. And that's exactly the idea. When we want to climb a mountain, we climb the biggest mountain in the world, but it looks small. And it's the mountain of the Torah. Because in order to receive the Torah comes from humbleness and from being united. And talking about united, the princes, the presidents of the tribes, last time when everybody was bringing all what can to the Mishkan, they waited to bring what is left. Unfortunately, nothing was left. And they brought all of the stones for the Choshen. Now, they didn't wait. Now they approach Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all, with a very interesting sacrifice or a korban or offering, if you call it. 12 tribes, they bring 6 wagons and 12 oxes. In other words, 2 princes bring each one an ox and together a wagon. By the way, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know what to do with it. God tells him what to do. But when they bring it to Moshe Rabbeinu, what is the idea behind it? Why? Are they stingy? Can they bring 12 wagons and 24 oxes? What's the idea? And the idea is very simple. They wanted to show that they are united. So they bring each one an ox, but they carry the same wagon. And this resemblance is marriage. Being together is a man and a woman being together carrying the wagon of life. And this is the basic of everything, to go in the same direction. And this is what they wanted to show to God. You see, we are united. We bring one wagon for 2 tribes, and each one of us has own ox, and we put them together to carry the wagon together. But that's not the end of it. Then what do? They bring Netanel ben Tzuar, which is the prince of the Shevet of Issachar. He tells them, let's bring all of us a sacrifice before anybody else brings for the Chanukat HaMizbeach. But my idea is that each one of us is going to bring the same sacrifice exactly. What does it mean, the same sacrifice exactly? I tell you. ויהי המקריב ביום הראשון, the first sacrifice, in פרק ו' פסוק י"ב, פסוק 12, נחשון בן עמינדב למטה יהודה, he is the first one, וקורבנו, קערת כסף אחת, 30 ומאה משקלה, מזרק אחד כסף 70 שקל בשקל הקודש, שניים מלאים סולת בלולה בשמן למנחה, כף אחת 10 זהב מלאקטורת, פר אחד הפר, I'm not going to translate because you understand in a minute, פר אחד בן בקר, איל אחד, כבש אחד בן שנתו לעולר, שעיר עזים אחד לחטאת, ולזבח השלמים בקר 2, מילים 5, תודים 5, כבשים בני שנה 5, זה קורבן נחשון בן עמינדב. Quite a few פסוקים, telling us, I didn't especially quickly, no, because I'll tell you what's going on here. The same פסוקים, that's not one פסוק, it's a few פסוקים as you saw, and I wrote it quickly, and still it looks a lot. 12 times the Torah is telling us the same thing. Each one of the princes of the president of the tribes brings the same sacrifice, and the Torah is telling it again and again and again 12 times. This is a unique thing. Never ever you can find a thing like this in the whole Bible, that the Torah is going to say it's the same thing, the same words 12 times. The Torah could very easily say, that's the sacrifice of Nachshon ben Aminadav, and also the other tribe brought the same sacrifice, and we all understand exactly what's happening. No. The Torah is telling us 12 times the same thing again, again, and again. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing, and suddenly the tribes, the president of Iraq, come to him with a sacrifice. He doesn't know what to do. What do they want me to do? First of all, the first idea is they all want to celebrate the first day of the Mizbeach, of the altar. So you should bring all those sacrifices at the first day. Then God tells him, no. Each one of them is going to have his own day. Nevertheless, also Shabbos, they're going to bring a sacrifice. And Shabbos, you don't bring a personal sacrifice, only a public sacrifice. In other words, God even gave the Shabbos to the princes. Why? Because he said, if they are bringing the same exactly the same sacrifice. This is an unbelievable moment. So I will give each one of them a celebration day for his tribe, for his own sacrifice. And I'm going to say it 12 times, 12 days, including Shabbos. This is a very important point. If the Torah is doing this, the Torah is telling us a very simple lesson. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha is the basic of everything. To the point that when I see that you, Am Israel, are bringing, and you know, it sounds to us very easy. It's not easy. We all know, for example, I think I told you in the past, in Antwerp, they do kiddush and shul, that you, it's like, it's more than a wedding sometimes. It's unbelievable. Like you go, you see the tables, they bring all those birds and animals, all made of food. Everything is food. You can eat everything. And everything is, the display, not five stars. You cannot even, unbelievable.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, they did the same thing.
And you know, you go to this kiddush, this is a whole celebration. This is, and what food, wow. Now the problem is, not everybody can afford himself this kiddush. It costs a fortune. And if somebody's got a function, and he's not going to do this kiddush, what are people going to tell? What are going to say? Ah, this Nebuch, ah, misken, poor guy, couldn't make it. So people used to take loans in the bank in order to be also a part, that nobody will say that they are chas v'sholom poor, or they haven't got the ability, or they are stingy, or whatever. One of the rabbis there, they have a lot of Hasidic rabbis, one of the rabbis one day came to this community and told them, from this day, clapped on the table, this is finished. Kiddush is herring, those how do you crackers, a few vegetables, and lekach, of course, without lekach you got no kiddush, and you know, you've got this banana liquor, what they have, this banana liquor, that's it. And of course the rich guys, and you know, Antwerp is the diamond city, they came to the rabbi, wow, this is a shame, wow, how can I make a kiddush like this? He says, you want to be a part of my congregation, of my community? That's the kiddush you bring. And from this day on, the rich and the poor were equal. And nobody had to take loan, and nobody had to be ashamed. That's what the presidents of the tribe do here. It's not easy, because some of the tribes were very big tribes. Some were smaller. I'm sure that some of them had more money, and others didn't have. So everybody wants to show God, wow, I bring you all the best in the world. And inside it's like, I want to show off. And suddenly this guy comes and tells, no, we're not going to show off. Each one of us is going to be to bring the same sacrifice. A big lesson. This lesson doesn't end here.
Can I ask something? Why,
yes,
in the Shabbos they also sacrifice? In Shabbos, don't we have to...
Personal sacrifices you don't bring. Only the sacrifices of the community, of the public, like Korban HaTamid,
yeah,
that you bring always. And the Korban, for some, where there is Musaf of Shabbos, you bring the sacrifice.
In
and the
Shabbos?
Yeah, in Shabbos, of course in Shabbos. That's the job, that's part of the job. You do whatever you have to do, yes. You put it on the fire, everything. But that's only the sacrifices for the public.
And in the temple.
And the temple, of course, only the temple. If there is no temple, there are no sacrifices. Now, another unbelievable thing is in our parsha, and this is the beautiful blessing of the Kohanim. Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, God will bless you and keep you. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yichonecha, He will light you, He will bring you the light to your face, and will yichonecha, and will give you peace. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, He will, let's say if you did some not nice things, He's going to look, let's say, in a nice way to you. V'yasem lecha shalom, and put peace on you. The interesting thing in this bracha is that the bracha is to everybody. And it's written in singular, not in plural. It should be written Yevarechechem Veishmerchem in plural, not in singular. Why?
Because each one is blessed separately.
Why?
Because everybody's a person.
So first of all, there is, like we hear here, first of all, the first reason is that each one of us, as we said, is individual. And as an individual, each one of us got his own blessing. But that's only the small part. The important part is that we have to feel like one. Am Yisrael is not a lot of people. It's Am Yisrael. It's one. As we receive the Torah, Ke'ish echad belev echad. That's the level that we have to get. And by the way, if we're talking about this blessing, a Kohen who is blessing the community, the congregation, and he's got somebody who he doesn't love exactly, and in his mind is, I'm going to bless everybody except this guy. Nobody is blessed. Nobody is blessed. Because the Kohen, it says a blechim, v'chem be'ahava. It should be in love. Only in love you can bless the people. Otherwise, you cannot bless them. They are not blessed. There is another interesting thing that, if we know, when the Kohanim are blessing, so we say Kohanim, somebody from the Congress says Kohanim, and then they do the blessing, and then the Chazan, the Shliach Tzibur, he says Yevarechecha, and then the Kohanim say Yevarechecha. What's the idea? Why shouldn't the Kohanim just stand, say the blessing, and say Yevarechecha, Shem Vishmerecha, Yair Hashem Pana Velecha Vichuneka, Yisa Hashem Pana Velecha, Vesem Lora Shalom, and that's it. Finished. What's the idea behind it? The idea behind it is, the first of all, who is blessing us? God is blessing us. V'ani avarchem. There is a discussion exactly how it goes. If the God is blessing the Kohanim and the Kohanim are blessing us, or God is really just blessing us through the Kohanim and the Kohanim are nothing in it. So there is a very interesting thing. First of all, in order for the blessing to happen as a blessing of the Kohanim, we have to ask them to bless us. That's why we say Kohanim. Then the Shliach Tzibur, the Chazan, has to say Yevarechecha, and only through him, because he is the representative of the congregation, it goes to the Kohen, and from the Kohen it comes back to us. Of course, God is blessing us only if we are united. So we are asking the Kohanim to bless us. And I saw a very interesting opinion on this, that if the Shliach Tzibur doesn't say Yevarechecha, and the Kohen says it by himself, without the Shliach Tzibur telling him, the blessing is just a normal blessing, and there is nothing from a special Kohen blessing. Or in other words, God is not in this blessing as it should be. Because if we want God to bless us in the proper way, we should say, the Shliach Tzibur should say Yevarechecha, then it goes to the Kohen, and then the Kohen blesses us. And it says to Avraham Avinu, Va'avarcha mevarechecha, I will bless those who bless you. In other words, not only the congregation is being blessed, but also the Kohanim. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that this is another one of the presents that the Kohanim are getting. This special blessing, with all the path that you have to give the Kohanim, Tromor, to Ma'asrot, this is also one of the gifts that they're getting. Because they are being blessed when they bless us. And the other important thing is, sometimes you see in Berkat Kohanim people talking, looking around. Do you realize who is blessing you? You know the say of that Rav Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, years ago, he went together with, I think, the Rebbe Migur or something. They went to, every year they used to do it before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They go around the communities in the States and give drushes and things. And when they come to New York, I think, everybody was coming there, all the Jews. And this was this Sephardi Rebbe, he wanted to come and shake the hands or at least see the Rav Eliashiv or the other. He couldn't get there. The next morning, when he comes to shul, he sees Rav Eliashiv going on the steps of the shul, his Sephardi shul, not Ashkenazi. And as you know, Eliashiv, the Rav Eliashiv was Ashkenazi. So he comes to him, hi, Rav Eliashiv, so, what are you doing here? And he told him, you know, here in Chutz La'aretz, The Ashkenazim, they don't do the Kohanim blessing. But Sfaradim do. Sfaradim do. Blessing Hikat Kohanim every day. Ashkenazim in abroad, in Chutz La'aretz, only on Musaf of the Yom Tov, only on Chagim, they say the Birkat Kohanim. Otherwise, they don't say it. And says, I didn't want to miss the Birkat Kohanim because I'm here in Chutz La'aretz, so I came to daven in a Sfaradim Inyan in order to get Birkat Kohanim. And people just don't realize. God Himself is blessing you. And you're talking? Are you looking on the sides? Or waiting for the tefillah to get to finish? God is blessing you. Have the respect. Don't have the respect. You are stupid if you're not listening. If you don't receive the blessing from God Himself. There was a whole discussion. This we finished. Whole discussion. If we allowed even to bless our children or other people with this blessing, because this is Birkat Kohanim, as you see, God is telling the Kohanim to bless us. So are we allowed to bless our children with this? And as you know, on Shabbos evening, everybody is blessing his children. Nevertheless, we say it on Tfilat HaDerech, and we say it also on Shema Al Amita. Also this Viracha Hashem Vishmarecha, and we say it in a lot of other occasions because it's a very strong blessing. The Rav Ovadia Yosef, somebody asked him once, and he told him very clearly, not only you can bless your children, you can also put your hands on them. And that's no problem, it's a blessing. And this is a beautiful blessing. And why do I talk about this blessing? My father, Alav HaShalom, always when we used to go somewhere, or we used to visit him, one of the things he used to do is to bless us, Yivarcha Hashem Vishmarecha. He's not a Kohen, I'm not a Kohen. But he used to bless us, Yivarcha Hashem Vishmarecha, Yashem Pelam Yikuneka. I remember when it was near the end and he was really suffering and something was so many medications because did an operation, was not successful. But suddenly you say, it's I were litten and he blessed us. Yivcha Hashem Vishmarecha, Ya'er Hashem Pana Belecha Vikuneka, Isa Hashem Pana Belecha. And we thought that, oh, it's okay, it's, everything is okay. But a minute, like a few seconds after he finished blessing, went back to this catatonic stage. I always remember this because for my father, this blessing was the greatest blessing, and that's why on the wedding I blessed my two children and my two colors, Baruch Hashem, with this blessing. And I make sure that every Shabbos, whenever I can, and not only Shabbos, if one of the sons or the children goes away, I bless him with this blessing. And this is an unbelievable blessing, because this blessing is really showing us that God is with us, but God wants us to be together. Yevarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. God should bless us all in this beautiful blessing. But in order to receive this blessing, we have to send the greatness behind it, to be united. Even if we are different, as we says, each one of us has got its own talent, its own ability. That's beautiful. That's the beauty of Am Yisrael. But everybody together. And if we keep up together, then we will get this beautiful blessing. Yivarchecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Shkoyach.